Blog Talk Radio.
hello. This is Brian here, sitting here in the luxurious Fast Studios. We're no longer the freaking awesome paranormal show. We're now the freaking awesome Supernatural Talk. So we have a little bit of a change going on here. I am flying solo for the moment. We're kind of spread out here at Fast today, and I'll be your host until my co-host call in here in a few minutes. Let's see what we have going on here. We have a Paracon coming up and this weekend that we're going to be attending. It's is called a Paracon at Boxwood Inn, and it's actually in Newport News, Virginia. And it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. It's actually being hosted by Seven Cities Paranormal down that area, that Williamsburg, Newport News, Hampton Roads area. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We are actually going to be at the Paracon doing interviews that day, so that's going to be a lot of fun, meeting everybody and saying hi, and hopefully we will have people come to the table and talk to us, because we love to, you know, go out there and meet people, you know, and get them on the air, talk to us, and tell us what your groups are all about and why you got into the paranormal. And I think I have my co-host Kristen calling in, so I'm going to patch her in right now. Hello.
You're correct.
I was sweating bullets over here, man. I was like, oh, God. I'm going to sit here.
No, oh, God.
Oh. Okay. I had a few issues with the show before the show went on the air. I kind of fudged up a little bit. I almost lost the episode. So, yeah, I was kind of messed up a little bit. But we got everything under control now. I was just talking about Paracon at the Boxwood Inn.
Awesome.
How we're gonna be there doing interviews and wanting to talk to people this Saturday.
Like,
oh, me too. Let's.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm extremely, like, I don't even need an energy drink. That's how stoked I am right now.
I'm stoked.
Okay, I might have lied.
But I know I got a house full of people this weekend at my house, and it's going to be like, if I can get any sleep at all, I'll be surprised. But, you know, I'll down to like 5 or 10 5-hour energies, and, you know, get my Red Bull hooked up to an IV, and I'll be good to go.
You see, you sit in the booth now with like an IV of Red Bull beside you.
Exactly. I have to be shaking and stuff. You know, what do you want? What do you want?
I need more fix.
I need my shit. Oh, man. I'm going to go through who's going to be at this Paracon coming up. This is a pretty nice group of people going there. We got Pat Boussard, who's an author and a photographer, and she's also a medium. What's him? Pamela Kinney, she's an author and an actress. J. Michael Moore, author and historian. We have Twisted Paranormal Society is going to be there. Remember all the members of All Things Paranormal Society and the Sisters of Salem are going to be at the Paracon. So that's a pretty good group right there. And if there are any more groups coming, they're not listed on this, what I'm looking at now, but I'm sure there'll be more groups coming. So that's going to be fun. They even have a face painting and a caricature artist on site. So, you know, bring the kids.
Yeah, I heard there's also supposed to be, like, a bunch of, like, family-friendly games and stuff like that that's supposed to be going on.
Yeah.
I also know that some of the funds that are going to be they're going to be donated to a surviving cancer patient I can't think of his name right off the top of my head right now. They're also going to be funds donated to the Humane Society in Hampton and to the Boxland Inn for upkeep and stuff like that.
The cancer patient's name is Paul M. Popadak, or Pop, I don't know how to say his name, Popadak, P-O-P-A-D-A-K. So, and I hope, you know, this is definitely for a good cause. And
definitely.
What better way to celebrate Easter than to come learn about ghosts and stuff, you know? So I think everyone will have a good time at the Paracon. For sure. I was thinking today, because I think last week you did, we were doing the scary things that little kids say to like little kids say, you know, to their parents.
Yeah.
And I was reading about scary things little kids say about their imaginary friends, which is even freakier. Oh, yeah, by the way, I'm kind of jumping off back and forth. The
Look,
Paracon,
there's a turning lane for a reason. I'm sorry. I'm on my way to the studio now and...
okay.
Sorry.
Well, anyway, the Paracon starts, it's on Saturday, and it starts at 10 o'clock from 10 to 5. So I forgot to throw that in there. It's from Saturday at the Boxwood Inn in, I think it's Newport News. I'm pretty sure it's Newport News. But I'm pretty sure if you looked up Boxwood Inn on Bing or Google or whatever, it would say Newport News. Let's see. It's okay,
I think it's
right
at the corner of Warwick and Yorktown. If anybody knows the Newport News area.
10 Elmhurst Street, map question. Break out your GPS, plug it in, and just get in the car and drive, baby. Woo! Because it's going to be a lot of fun. And plus you get to meet the awesome fast crew, so that should be reason enough for you to pack your kids up and go, because, I mean, why, you know, you can meet us. Woohoo!
All right.
That's right. All right, all right, all right. let's see. Go back to the creepy thing as kids say, so I'm dropping all over the place here. So I got a funnest article about the creepy things kids say about their imaginary friends, so I'm going to read a couple of them. All right, and see if you get creeped out by it. My daughter had an imaginary friend named Sally. She told me once about how Sally was in jail for chopping her mom's head off.
That's an interesting imaginary friend.
That is. I mean, I know kids can be violent, but not like, but they think it's more of a joke type thing. You know, oh my God, you know. You know, how are you talking about?
I thought imaginary friends
you know?
Were the people you were supposed to build mud pies with in the backyard.
Apparently, they're also the kids kind of push the sharpened knives with at the same time.
Yeah.
Here's another one. A parent of one of my students told us in a meeting that she was concerned because her son, 7 years old, talked about an invisible ghost who would talk to him and play with him in his room. He said the ghost was called the captain. It was an old white guy with a beard. The kid would tell his mom that the captain would told him when he grows up his job will be to kill people, and the captain would tell him who needed to be killed. The kid would cry and say that he doesn't want to kill when he grows up, but the captain tells him he doesn't have a choice and he'll get used to it after a while. Used to killing after a while. See, I tend to believe this one more than I believe Sally chopped jail for chopping her mom's head off. As far as I
yeah,
think,
a little bit.
Yes. I mean, I guess it's when the kid gets older, you can say, "Well, the captain told me to do it." I wonder if his I wonder if the captain's last name was Crunch.
I don't know. For some reason, Captain Spaulding popped into my head.
or kangaroo, maybe. Those damn ping pong balls. Drove them to murder. Here's one. My boy was 4. His imaginary friend would sit in the corner of the room when you switched off the lights and switched off the lights and light the room with glowing red glowing eyes. Oh. Okay. My voice four, his imaginary friend was sitting in the corner of the room. When you switched off the lights, you light the room with red glowing eyes. Well, if he could see that red glowing eyes, it's not really imaginary. You know? They're both imagining it. I don't think that would count. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Well, I mean, if he's seen, if it's his imaginary friend that he sees during the day and you only really get a manifestation when the lights are out, it could still be considered an imaginary friend.
Well, I mean, I think I have someone on the line who's got me, has a question mark on her.
I mean, in the mind, in the mind of the kid, it's an imaginary friend, but of course, with there being like a physical manifestation and stuff, obviously it's something more.
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, if
no,
is this Jimmy?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, welcome. You didn't want to get on this time, right? Because he's like, I put you on. You don't want to get on. So I'll
that's fine.
Okay.
No, I just wanted to get on there and comment about that because I mean. That is real creepy. I mean, honestly, if it was me and my daughter said that, I mean,
with the Sally, the camera, and everything.
No, about the glowing red eyes.
Well, and I'm saying is, if the, it sounds like the adult who's sending this story in could see it too. So if the adult can see it too, is it imaginary or is it? It's real, right? You can't both be imagining the
I would say it's paranormal.
Paranormal, yeah.
I'd say paranormal. Now, kids are, I was always told this, and honestly I'm a believer in it, is kids are very receptive to seeing spirits more than we are.
Yeah.
I look at it because of their innocence and they're more receptive. You know, they're more responsive to it, where with adults, as you get older, you know, you hear things bump in the night, oh, that's just this, you know, or you see something out of the corner of your eye, oh, we make up excuses for it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I actually read, actually heard that when a child is developing, their eyes aren't the same as ours as they grow up. They develop, they grow.
Mm-hmm.
But they can see more of the spectrum of color of light when they're younger than you can when you get older. As your eyes develop, they lose that ability to see certain things.
Yeah.
So that's part of the reason why the kids can, you know, kids can see things that we can't see.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know if that's true or not. That's just what I heard.
I know of this. I mean, we've all heard stories in one way or the other of kids, you know, seeing like a deceased grandparent or something, and they'll say, "Oh yeah, it's their friend," and then you start pulling out pictures, and they go, "Oh, that's my friend," and it's like your great great grandfather or grandmother, you know.
Yeah, I'd rather
see the
captain trying to tell me to kill people. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's scary stuff.
What comes to mind when you said that one was actually the Amityville Horror. Are you familiar with that one?
Yeah, I mean, I've no bits and pieces of it, but I haven't really done. I haven't really read up on it yet. Elaine Warren, is that her name?
I'm not sure.
The demonologist.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot her name. I'm having a brain fart here. But, I know she was there. She did an investigation at that house, and they made a movie about it.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't.
Well,
really
with
know
that,
much.
With the murders, what happened was the father, I believe it was a father who killed his whole family, he actually told police afterward the reason
Lorraine.
He did it is because
Lorraine.
He was possessed.
Lorraine Ward, okay. Sorry.
Yeah. That's all right. So, I mean, it's kind of the same thing with a little kid, because, I mean, look at the serial killers of the past, like Ted Bundy and stuff like that, you know. They could have had imaginary friends that were the same way, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but also depends on, it really depends on, I guess it depends on how they're raised, too. Well, I mean, I don't, some people just snap, you know? I mean, I don't, sometimes there's no logical reason behind it. They just,
speaking
like,
of people snapping, there was, I forget what state it was in. My mom was reading the article about it the other night, and I was reading it with her. There was a kid, it wasn't a school shooting, but a mass stabbing.
That was in Pennsylvania.
Thank you. Yeah, he apparently the bell had rang and everybody was coming out, I guess, to catch the buses. And he was just walking down the hallway swinging his arms with 2 8-inch blades in each hand and just stabbing people left and right. And it wasn't really aimed at anyone in particular. And they say that he was a quiet kid and he was very well-liked. There was no bullying involved.
Yeah,
so,
with that story, what I heard with that is he ended up stabbing like 19 people. He killed one person, and two others were in critical care. What I heard was it was in the morning at the morning bell. He was walking through, and he just went up to random people and stabbed each one about 5 times. So, I mean, that's what I heard, and I got that. I want to say I read that off Fox News.
Wow.
Oh, no, man.
There is no, I mean, there's no logic to that. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. You can't wrap your head around that. I mean, people who don't go out and kill people can't wrap their heads around that. You know, because you have to get up, get the knife, put it in your backpack or whatever. Say goodbye to your mom. Eat breakfast. Go to school. Get on the bus or whatever you do. And then all that time, you still think that's a good idea. And you know, say he was well liked. He must not have liked a lot of people at that school. I mean,
I imagine as this thing happens, because this happened last week, I imagine more as they investigate into it that they'll find out more about him. Because I heard he was again, one of those shy, quiet kids, you know, and he just snapped. You know, it probably could have happened to where, well, he could have been one that when he got home had like a violent household or something, you know. Maybe his mom didn't hug him enough. Maybe his dad didn't give him enough attention. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, I guess little things like that can add up to that maybe, but I mean, there's something chemically out of balance in someone's head for them to go off and, you know, kill a bunch of people.
Exactly. Now, I honestly look at blame as on the parents for that incident, because if he went out and did this and he snapped, there had to have been signs for the parents to pay attention and say, hey, look, maybe we should get our son into counseling or have him go to a therapist.
Maybe there weren't any warning signs.
They did.
Or maybe they were so...
It's a possibility.
Maybe they're so wrapped up in what they're doing, but I... Then in the end, it's a kid who went out and did what he did. So it's really can't blame the parents. I mean, maybe he could have seen the warning signs a little bit better, but it's still a kid's decision.
Yeah. Exactly. You're absolutely correct on that. It is actually his decision and everything, but I mean, I'm right now it's all speculation, you know.
Yes.
I mean, to me, I mean, you guys don't know this about me, but I went through like 10 years of counseling when I was going through school. And my mom had me go to counseling because she started seeing signs of I would distance myself from people. I had anger issues at home. I didn't give a damn about anything. You know, I was depressed, but I wasn't. So
yeah, I know what you mean.
I ended up going to counseling. And it actually helped me out a lot, you know.
Yeah, I've gone to counseling myself, so I know exactly what you're talking about. It's good to get those feelings. Have someone to talk to as almost like a mediator where you don't have to talk to your parents about it. Somebody you're comfortable with, somebody who's with judgment of you.
Yeah, and actually what it did for me and my family, it actually brought me and my mom closer because my mom, growing up, I realized what my key trouble was when I was growing up, my mom watched all my cousins and stuff and paid attention to them, where me, I'm the oldest out of my entire family. So I was basically left to go take care of myself while all the others are doing all this, you know. So
you felt excluded, like, why aren't you taking care of, like, paying more attention to me than my cousin?
Exactly. You know, it took a long time. So, but yeah, it ended up making me and my mom and the rest of my family get bond closer. So, although you wouldn't think that now.
What'd you say? I'm sorry.
No, that's I was going to say, yeah, it made me and my family closer, although now you wouldn't be able to tell because, I mean, my brother lives down in Florida, my sister's up in Michigan, my mom's up in Michigan, and my sister lives 3 hours away from my mom. So, but I mean, I make a phone call once a week.
You can still be close
to
your family without actually being close in proximity to your family.
Exactly.
No.
You know, family is your blood. You know they're always going to be there for you.
Yeah. Maybe he felt he'd have that connection to his family. He already just felt alone. You can have all the friends in the world and still feel like you're, you know, the only person in the room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, just because he might have been well liked, it doesn't mean he's popular.
Yeah. You
know, or he's like, oh yeah, he's cool, but. Say someone's cool, but not even really know him. To say he's cool just because he hasn't done anything to you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty scary stuff. It's also scary when you think about having kids and knowing that there are people like that out there. I have a daughter. She's 10, going into school. You know, I mean, it's scary because I don't know. Every time I go, I mean, I don't, you know, unless something happens at one of her schools or something when she gets older.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same for me. I mean, you guys hear about what happened at that daycare? I believe it was down in Florida.
No, which, I mean, I heard one about the two. Like people having sex with the kids or something in daycare?
No. I didn't hear about that one, but no, there was a guy, I guess it was down in Florida. He was in a car and drove his SUV right through the front door or a wall at the daycare, and he killed like two kids, injured like 20 others. And I mean, these kids are like 3 and 4. They're like my daughter's age. You know, and it's like that. It was heart wrenching when I heard that. It was like, man, what if that was my kid?
Yeah, that is scary. You drop the kids off at daycare center, and they're safe. And
and they're not doing it, and you speak of anything. And then that happens.
No, even when you go to school, I was never worried about, when I was in high school, elementary school, I was never worried about someone coming out there with a gun. I wasn't,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't even, like, part of my daily routine.
I was like, oh, shoot, hope I don't get shot today.
Yeah.
I wasn't worried about the bus.
We're now...
Because my bus...
We're nowadays, that's like... That's common logic for kids. It's a shame that's how they think. I mean, to me, I look at it as compared to when I was in school, but of course I went to a backwoods high school. You know, these kids want to go up and gang up on one kid, pull weapons out and stuff. Where with us, we had a dispute. We wanted to fight it out. We go up the road on a corner on a dirt road and beat the hell out of each other with our fists. And after that, we were friends.
I never really considered, when I watch violent movies and stuff, I never thought, well, oh my God, I got one Terminator, so now I'm going to go outside and get a bunch of guns and kill people because there might be robots or something like, you know? I never
exactly
associated with violent movies with my, I never saw a violent movie and wanted to go out and kill people. I would get sticks that look like guns and point them, point them at my friends and play army and stuff in the woods, but you know, I never had the urge to actually go out and kill people. Never thought it would be fun, never thought it would be cool. But apparently it's like, maybe they want to be famous. Maybe if they go out and do this stuff, they'll be on the news, they'll make a big deal out of it, and they'll get their 15 minutes of fame.
I mean, it's one of those things that it's better off left to the psychologist, and us as parents, we just got to be watchful, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I think we might have our guest on the line.
Elaine? Hello? Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine. How are you guys?
Oh, we're good. We're just talking about some depressing things on here. But we're very happy to have you on the show.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm happy to be here. Debbie's sitting right next to me. Hi.
Hey, Debbie. How are you?
Hello.
I'm good.
Aloha.
Yeah, I was just listening to what
for,
guys were saying on there. It's pretty interesting stuff.
It's sad to see that the world is in right now. I mean,
it sure is.
But you know, they report the bad stuff, but there are still a lot of good stuff. Still a lot of good stuff out there too. We don't want to lose sight of that.
That's very true.
But I guess the bad news. Brings ratings to the to the news station, so I guess they got to report that. So
yeah.
But anyways,
I think it's just media's way of tapping in on the worst thing they could possibly find.
And plus, people. I mean, it's sad that people actually like to read about that stuff. It's interesting. You know, I don't like it, but people like to read about it, and you know, it sells more than someone being nice or when nothing's happening. But I personally would like to hear more positive stories about people doing things for other people. You know,
right. Well, speaking of which, it seems like the television shows go that way too. They find the most negative, destructive thing they can possibly find and put it on there just to make a buck.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me going on that, because, I mean, even the cartoons nowadays, like with what I've seen sitting and watching TV with my daughter, it's like, good God, I can't believe these are on the air.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
you can see commercials for Viagra. I used to watch SpongeBob with my daughter, and you can see commercials for Viagra while watching SpongeBob or, you know, Cialis or whatever they were trying to sell to adults. And it's just not the right place to have those kinds of commercials, you know?
Oh, I agree. Yep. I agree with that 100%.
But how are you guys doing? Are you guys doing good?
Yeah, we're doing pretty good.
Cool.
Trying to just praying that the snow don't come back. No more snow this year.
So. Oh, man.
I don't
even say
better.
That word. I know, right? I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see snow until next November at the earliest is when I want to see snow.
Absolutely.
Well, speaking of snow, you guys want to hear something really interesting in a way?
Okay.
I talked to my mother earlier tonight, and they're supposed to get tonight a foot of snow.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, I
that's up in Michigan.
Right now.
Oh, Michigan? Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Unfortunately,
wow.
I'm used to it.
I could never get used to that.
Not that much snow. Uh-uh. For as long as they've had it, no, I don't think so. Too much.
No way. Well, I'll tell your mom to have fun in the snow. I'll be enjoying the 70-degree weather.
Yeah, so we're trying to get ready for the paranormal camp out.
That is going to be fun. I'm actually going to be there so we can actually hang out face-to-face and hang out by the campfire.
That's cool.
When is it? When's that supposed to be again?
Is that June 7th, I think?
Yes.
What's that?
June 7th?
Yes,
okay.
June 7th. I guess that Friday and Saturday or whatever, or Saturday. Whenever you guys want to come in.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be doing what I can to get out there for that, because I actually am looking forward to being out there.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Bring your fishing pole.
Oh,
and your
trust
storm.
Me, I will.
And if you have a metal detector, bring that too, because there's a lot of relics around here.
I'm able to get my father-in-law's metal detector out of his shed.
And even you can have a paranormal metal detector thing, you know, sort of like find the piece, pick it up, and try and see if we can get anything off of the piece.
That'd be cool. See if we can.
That'd be interesting.
If there's any kind of attachment to it or something. That'd be
Pardon?
Fun.
Yeah,
I'd enjoy that.
Yeah, I mean, it's. We have a lot of, like, the Civil War. I've even found a few pieces from the Revolutionary War.
Wow.
Oh.
Well, I'm definitely have to get there early on Saturday, though, then, so I can get started looking for relics.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be fun.
Oh. Yeah, definitely. Like I said, definitely look forward to, you know, hanging out with you guys for sure.
Yeah, we ought to have a lot of fun. We can hold
now,
hands and sing Kumbaya.
Oh, that sounds like fun. That's what I want to do.
Yeah. We're just really looking forward to that.
Now, where are you guys at?
We're in a little town called Folks Run, Virginia, and right outside of Harrisonburg, about 15 miles from Harrisonburg.
Okay.
Yeah, we're kind of like in the middle of no man's land.
there's no houses too much around. It's just like we're all relatives on this road.
Uh-huh.
Isn't there a movie like that?
It sounds like home to me. That's the kind of town I grew up in, kind of area.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, definitely love a small town.
Yeah, we'll have a lot of fun.
Yeah, I guess since it's about 7 miles to the nearest little store, so make sure you come prepared.
I'm have my cooler packed. Two coffees.
There you go.
Packed, one for beer and one for everything else.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have fun out here, that's for sure.
Now, I saw a video on YouTube called When Ghosts Attack. And you guys were in that video, weren't you?
I was the one that was in the show. Me and my family were.
I watched.
It was a,
oh.
Pardon? It was a house that we lived in Chesapeake.
That show freaked me out. I'm not gonna lie. It was when I saw it happen to you and your family. I was just kind of shocked. You know.
I didn't know what to make of either. I mean, you know, it was just like any other haunted place that you would move into that you're kind of like redoing the house, you know. It seems to be a lot of hauntings that start out that way where you go in and you're renovating the house, you know, to get things ready to move in, and that's kind of where it started in a little bit. And it started with my husband first.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, because he was going there at nights after he would get off work and renovate after work. And he's the first one that saw something out on the back mud porch. And he said he just kind of packed it up and came home because his hair stood up on the back of his neck. And
tell us what he saw.
You know, pardon?
Can you tell us what he saw?
It was a man. He said it was a man standing on the back porch and was staring in the window. And he said that he knows there was nobody there. It was just him because this is like in the middle of nowhere. So, you know, that he knew it was just nobody that he knew of that was alive. He said that he couldn't understand why the hair on the back of his neck was standing up to begin with. And, you know, at that time, I really wasn't into paranormal or, you know, anything like that yet. It was just simply, you know, happy family. And so
a new house.
I could do adventure.
Pardon?
So you're moving into a new house. It was like a new adventure.
Yeah. Well, when we were renovating the house, actually, the first thing that happened to me was when we were upstairs, and there was me and my stepmom and my brother, and we were upstairs in my son's room painting the room, and I kept hearing footsteps going. Sounded like they were coming up and down the stairs. And so I would run into the stairs because I thought it was, you know, my husband, and I would yell down there and there was nothing, and tried to go back to painting and the same thing. And I mean, I heard it over the radio because we had a radio playing in that room, and I heard it over the radio. So,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's how loud it was. And so, you know, I just kind of put it to like, well, it's probably something falling or, you know, I really wasn't paying. It wasn't that big of a deal, in other words, at that point.
Uh-huh.
But then when the kids started staying the night in the room, that's when we started kind of having issues, and they didn't want to go to bed. So, pardon?
I was going to say, if you don't mind me asking, what kind of issues were you guys having? Did they start escalating when you guys moved in?
Well, you know, I mean, it was like little things would happen. You know, it wasn't, I mean, you're talking between like a 13, 14-year span. This is something that was going on, off and on, for 14 years. And I know when they did the show, they depicted it that it was like something that, like, happened in a very short period of time, you know, like within a year or so or something like that. But that's not what happened. That's not what happened. It was more widespread, and it wasn't just the family that was having issues. It was anybody that would come there and stay there, like family members or friends or whatever. So this is something that just was ongoing, off and on.
Yeah. From that video, you don't get the sense that it's a 14-year span. You assume it was like a year that all this stuff happened. You don't get the sense that it was that long.
Yeah, well, that's Debbie just said they over exaggerated, and they did because, I mean, Debbie now, when she was, we hadn't been living in the house all that long, and I'll let Debbie tell you what happened to her, because it was quite profound what happened to her in the house, and they never even said anything about that. I mean, it was something that. You know, he said to me afterwards, well, why don't you take and you need to move out of here. But I'll let her tell you what happened to her.
Okay.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey.
Welcome.
Well, Elaine kind of put the nail on the head. I mean, when they first moved in, they got finished with the renovations. Steve was still doing a few things here and there, and I had come down there, and we were talking in Lane on coming back up here with us and staying with us for a little bit with the kids. Steven was just a little baby at that point. That's her son.
Mm-hmm.
And so we finally talked her into coming with us, and she went in to go get, you know, packed and stuff, and I was holding Steven. Stephen was crying, and then all of a sudden, in the kitchen, from behind, I was pushed from behind, and not only pushed, but skid across the floor. My feet weren't moving.
Oh, wow.
That actually happened. There was my other sister who was in the room with me, she, excuse my language, she says, what the hell was that? And I said, I have no idea, but you could feel the pressure on your back. And it was just a weird, spooky kind of thing. But that actually did. And, but like Elaine said, you know, they really did over-exaggerate on ghost attack. And
yeah. They was only they I thought they were gonna use a whole hour to tell your story, and they only used like 20 minutes of it, or like maybe a half hour. I bet they got a lot of stuff.
But yeah, and there was a lot of stuff. It's hard to pack 14 years in 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's true.
Now,
but,
if you don't mind me asking, what was the most profound thing that happened to you all when you were there? You know, like the straw that broke the camel's back, so to say.
I'm going to say, well, I'd probably have to let Elaine answer that one, you know, since she lived with it over there. But
you know, over the years, you know, me and Elaine would talk back and forth, and I think it was just the depression and the bad feelings and being sick all the time. And I think that's really what kind of broke it right there, but I'll let Elaine handle that one.
Well, I think it was due to the fact that it started affecting my kids, and I got mad. I got very angry because it was affecting the kids. And
absolutely.
Definitely. You know, you're talking to a mother who was very, you know, protective of her children, and you know, my son wouldn't even sleep in his room because he said that something was in there, in that little closet in his room, and it was actually like one of these old closets where they like cut out from the floor up, just a little square, and you kind of open the door and you climb in there. But the house they said was built in 1921, but when we went down and we was looking at all the records and stuff down in the library and all, we found out the house was built in 1863 or something like that. And I was going, oh, my God, well, they didn't tell us that, you know. And the house had probably seen a lot of stuff going on out there. Down the road was actually was a Native American called Snow Hill. It was like a very sacred place, and that was about maybe 10 minutes down the road. And then you had probably the Civil War and stuff that was going through there, and there was probably all the death that was on that property and stuff. And but
that
I think the most profound.
Sure.
Pardon?
So that would do it for sure. All that death around your property, that would definitely cause some problems.
Absolutely. But I think the most profound thing that happened was when my daughter was attacked, Crystal. And they made it look like that it happened in one bathroom. And first of all, the house didn't look like that, and we did not have a sunken tub. And when we first moved in there, I didn't know there was a hole in the floor, and I went in to take a shower, and I pulled the shower curtain back, and there was this thing that was crawling in the bathroom on the floor, and I looked and it was a snake.
Oh, my
oh, wow.
Goodness.
And I was like, what the hell is that? Oh, God. But, yeah, it was quite strange. But that bathroom held a really weird feeling to it anyways. And so that's the bathroom where my daughter, Crystal, was scratched. And because we didn't have the second bathroom on there at that time. And there was no back part of the house. It was just the house itself. And so she comes screaming out of the bathroom, and it was about 11 o'clock at night, dripping wet with a towel around her head and towel around her, and she was crying and sobbing. And I looked, and I was trying to find out what she was talking about, and finally I saw it, and when it was on her leg, and it said, it was almost like you'd have to take a mirror and stick it up to your body or your skin to look at what it was saying, and it was saying, help me, Mary. Now, it did say that, but it was like somebody took their finger and was on the inside of her etching it out.
Wow.
And it was, I'd never experienced anything like that before, and it hurt her. It hurt my daughter. And I was pissed. You're talking about a person that was just really mad and angry. Sorry, didn't mean to slip.
Oh, that's fine. It's it's a PG-13 show, so it's that's,
oh,
that's,
okay.
That's,
yeah, I mean, yeah. I was really angry, and so I started screaming. I didn't even know what I was screaming at, and I was screaming, you know, leave us alone, for crying out loud. And, you know, it just kept on, and it affected my children with horrible nightmares, with things that were happening to them. There was a lot of anger issues and fighting going on in the house. And if you looked at it from a whole or from a standpoint, it almost looked like that it was like a demonic haunting, you know,
mm-hmm.
from a depression that was in the house and such. And I actually had gone down to talk to a priest about coming up and blessing the house. And, you know, they kind of look at you kind of crazy sometimes, and I'm like, okay, well.
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
but,
I'm guessing when you're going through all that stuff, looking for any kind of release, any kind of answer you can find. So you'll go to a priest, you'll go talk to anybody and say, look, I need help.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we did call in a couple of paranormal teams. Now, I'm not gonna say any names because I just don't think that's right. But, you know, in the beginning, you're talking about a time where paranormal was in its infancy, okay? Uh-huh. And there wasn't a whole lot of groups out there that were doing this kind of thing. And I do remember that I had contacted a team that had been in this for quite some time. And they're the ones that suggested, well, you know, get in contact with this, or we'll call them for you, and so we'll come out and do it. Now, Debbie was there for that investigation, and there was some things that were going on inside the home that even during the investigation that was happening. And
wow.
They never came back, never got any kind of report. No, and see, this is what made me angry, and this is why I decided, even at that very early on stage, to go on there and put a website up myself and try to help people find a place that they could go to help them in a time of need, that would be there for them and go through the whole thing with them, the whole stage of the haunting with them, and help them out, because I just couldn't see that happening to anybody else. It really angered me. And that's what we do today in our team. That's why because Debbie has, her house was also very haunted, and her children were very much affected by things that were going on in her home. And so when I moved up here away from that place, after I decided, after all those, because we had a lot of people die in that house too while we were there. How many people died in that house, Debbie?
Well, there was three, I believe. Wasn't there was Catherine and Harris, and then there was Lee.
Yeah, and she was 53 or 54 years old when she passed away of a heart attack.
Were they all natural causes?
Supposedly.
The was all natural?
I mean, the police came in, and, well, yeah, she died of a heart attack, but it was so sudden. I mean, she was only like 53. And with all the deaths that had happened in that house, I thought that the house was actually sucking life out of us.
Uh-huh.
I did. You know, you just kind of get that picture in your mind. But I told my husband, I said, that's it. We are moving out of here. I've had it with this house. And, but there was just a lot of stuff that they didn't put in the show that was overlooked, that was important, I think. like the wood burning smell that was in the house and the radio stations that were turning off and
turning channels.
It would turn channels all by itself. And Debbie hated country
station.
Debbie hates country music. Okay.
I don't hate it. I just it's not one of my preferred listening programs, you know. But I like, you know, more pop or soft, you know, or rock. But
yeah,
I had it on soft rock that night, and I didn't turn my back for 2 minutes, and that channel changed to a country station, and it did it twice. And I was
so
like,
was messing with you a little bit.
I was just going to unplug the radio.
But, you know, and it was just like things moving around and keys missing. And I kind of figured there was more than one in there.
More than one spirit?
You know, in the house. Yeah. I think there was a little boy in there. The team that came in there when Debbie was there actually had a psychic with them. And, you know, they said that they picked up on three of them. Now, I don't know. I always felt like that there was a little boy that was actually watching out for my kids, or somebody was, to make sure that they were okay. But I don't know who the male spirit was in that house, but he was actually very, very mean. And I started kind of goofing around with the webcam just to run it. I just run it all night long. I would just run it to see if it was picking, you know, anything up or things were moving around or whatever. And I caught a shadow person.
Wow.
Yeah, I caught a shadow person, and I didn't even know what it was at first. All I knew it was is this dark figure, and it was there, and then it was gone. And you're talking about a low-rated webcam too, you know, like megapixels back then.
Oh,
The megapixels were real bad back then. You know, they were real low.
Yeah.
But
hey, back then, what years was this taking place? We'll give our audience an idea of how long ago this actually was.
Do what now? I'm sorry. It's hard to hear out of this phone.
Oh, I was asking what time frame was of when this happened. So we can give our audience an idea of how old the webcam actually was that you were using.
Okay, well, the hauntings really started picking up, and we moved in there in 1993 in the house. So I figure around the latter part of the 90s, maybe in the middle to latter part of the 90s. And
I think it was like 3 megapixels.
Yeah, it was like 3 megapixels camera. And actually, they didn't really have digital cameras out at that point. They only had like these little teeny digital things that only took 3 megapixel pictures. And the cameras that they did have were just really expensive, that if you were to buy them, they were really expensive. So I did the best I could as far as just trying to you know, get some kind of evidence. Now,
you want answers.
There wasn't, pardon?
So, yeah, you want answers. So you do whatever you
can. Yeah,
I
did. Well, I'll tell you one thing that really did scare me is that we have a you know, a heat pump that we had to put in the house, and most of the piping and everything was put up in the attic, okay, in the vent. And there was a vent upstairs, and the upstairs part of the house that was up in the ceiling, okay, and the vent, that's where you climbed up to change the, you know, the air filters and such. And the first time this happened, it scared me so bad that I I just about jumped out of my skin. And the vent upstairs, it sounded like somebody took their fist and pounded down on it. And it's I took a picture of it right before we left. And it pounded down and pounded down on this thing so much that it literally bowed it out. And I really had to get up there and pound it back up so it would latch. And it was that bowed down. So something was hitting that stuff. I mean, I didn't have any animals in there. And I'm sure it was not super squirrel or something like this up there that was doing it. And I was up there. There was nothing up there. Nothing.
So did it happen while you were up there, or were you just downstairs?
No, we were just downstairs.
And then you're boom.
We were all downstairs, and I could hear it. I could hear that happen, and it was so loud that I could hear it all the way into the kitchen, which was, a ways away. So it was just crazy, the stuff that was going on. My kids were just, Crystal didn't even want to do the show. I mean, it still bothers her to this day to even talk about it. Brittany, on the other hand, it's a little...
She didn't want to see the one ghost attack. Is that what you're talking about? She didn't want to be on the show, the ghost attack show?
She didn't want to be on that show, but I talked her into doing it. I talked her into coming on the show and letting people know what happened to her. Because a lot of the brunt of whatever happened to her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I was living in the house, I actually was scratched a couple of times on my arm. And my brother, who is cerebral palsy, by the way, was living there with us at the time. And he actually was scratched. And also, we had a recliner upstairs in his bedroom, and he had a sleep apnea machine also. The sleep apnea machine, he got up the next morning after he woke up, and he says, "Something woke me up in the middle of the night. I couldn't breathe." And I said, "What are you talking about?" And he says, "Something was holding the hose, and I couldn't breathe." And so I kind of thought, holding the hose? And then I walked up there, and I was looking at it, and, something that had a hold of it and was just choking the air where it wasn't coming through. So he had that whole mask thing on his face, and it was just causing him not to be able to breathe. And so I called the sleep app place to have him come out and check it out to find out if there was anything that would have caused that to happen. They couldn't find anything. The hose was all clear. And he's only got one good hand, and I couldn't see him that up there in his face and choking off the air hose, But some things are possible, I don't know. But
do you know if he woke up and saw someone holding the hose, or, if he opened his eyes and actually saw, like, a shadow holding the hose or near the hose or something?
It's just a mask over the whole face. Keeps it sort of like an oxygen mask, the old kind where it would go over the whole face and stuff. And it wasn't two little tubes that just went up the nose. And then he had a girlfriend, and the girlfriend had come over one day and was upstairs, and my brother was off with my husband. And she was kind of sitting up there just watching TV and stuff in his room. And she come downstairs, and she caught me in the kitchen. She said, "Can I stay down here with you?" And I said, "Why?" And she said, "Well, I was watching TV," and she said, "and that chair was bouncing around with me in it."
Bouncing around with her in it?
Yeah, it was bouncing around with her in it. And she had no idea what happened to me in the chair. None. And
which that was pretty over-exaggerated, too, on the TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had me flopping up to the ceiling and down. That's not what I mean, come on, really? That didn't happen. I mean, it bounced like, you know, it felt like something had lifted it up and just kind of dropped it on the floor and went boom, boom, boom like that. And,
so when she was bouncing around in the chair, could you hear it on the ceiling? So you could hear it happening while it was going on. Could you hear the chair bouncing around in the house?
No.
You were there,
no, because
there.
I was...
You couldn't hear it?
No, because I was in the kitchen, and his bedroom was right above mine and my husband's bedroom. And so there was no way that I could hear, but I think she had a little bit of cerebral palsy, too. So she was a little slow, and she didn't know about stuff that was going in the house because I just didn't tell anybody that come in there, you know, what was going on. They're going to think I'm crazy, you know?
Yeah. Sounds like your house needs a warning label on the front.
I know, right? So I just, you know, but she come over and she didn't want to go back up there. She wanted to stay downstairs in the living room. And I said, well, you're more than welcome to stay down here. But I said, there's really nothing to be afraid of. And my brother couldn't really understand it. He'd get mad when things would happen and say, well, I'm moving out. I'm moving out, because that's what he would say. And I said, Joey, I don't blame you. I'd move out, too, if I hadn't put everything in this house. You know.
Yeah, you put so much into a house. I mean, once you're there, it's hard to get out. Once you put so much money into a house, it's hard to get, you know, to move. You don't really have a choice.
Oh, absolutely. Go ahead, hon.
So it's easier for people to say, hey, you know, you guys should just leave. Well, you can't leave. I mean, if it was that easy, you would have left a long time ago.
Oh, you bet I would have left a long time ago. You know, and, I mean, my husband had things happen to him, too, and, you know, he would tell me about it, and he just kind of pushed it off like, well, I don't know what that was, and it's not going to bother me, you know. You know, he thought that my son, he kept feeling something tapping on his shoulder in the bed because he was sleeping on his side, and he said he turned over because he'd say, go back to bed, you big galoop, because he called my son Big Galoop because he was a pretty big boy. And he didn't hear anything and turned over and there was nobody there. But he said that it felt like there was a little kid tapping his shoulder, like he wanted him to wake up. And when he turned over, there was nothing there. But then... on the part where, you know, that supposedly it happened. I woke up and there was a whole person there that I recognized in the bed that wasn't my husband.
Uh-huh.
And that truly happened. And
wow.
It was scary. I mean, it actually looked like something. Well, it turned over and I looked and it was staring at me, and I woke up and I was like, I couldn't move. I was in just frozen solid with fear, and it had all these black veins running through it, like black veins, and it looked like something had crawled out of hell, laying in the bed next to me. And that was not my husband. And I was so struck with fear, I couldn't move. And I think whatever is in the house was trying to really scare the hell out of me and my kids and make us all crazy. You know, I really think that's what it was.
I guess,
and,
was the house, how long was the house abandoned? How was it, how long the house, was it like an empty house that you bought, or was it just, had someone lived there before?
Well, the guy was renting it out before we bought it, and I think they were just renting the place out to whoever before Mr. Pendleton had passed away, because he was, you know, he couldn't live in it, and he didn't want the house to sit in there. So, anyways, the guy that was staying there supposedly was a little strange himself. And I know when we went to look at the inside of the house, he had one mattress in there in my son's room, and some old antiques that were sitting here and there, and then that was it. And I felt kind of weird about that mattress being there, you know. It just seemed strange.
Yeah.
And so I did ask Mr. Pendleton, the guy that lived across the road from us, I said to him, you know, this house has kind of got like a weird vibe to it. And I said, did somebody die in this house? And he kind of looked at my husband and he said, well, I'm not going to lie to you. He said, yeah, somebody died in the house. And, because I could just pick up on whatever was there, it just felt kind of strange. Well, first of all, it looked like somebody had thrown up in the house because it had this red wallpaper and ducks going around it. And tell him how it was, Debbie. It was pretty weird.
It was pretty nasty. But
that's weird. Did anything actually happen in your son's room?
What's that?
Did anything actually happen in your son's room? Is that where you said you saw the mattress?
I don't know, because anybody that ever stayed there, you know, for like guests or whatever, would stay in my son's room. My son didn't stay in his room. He refused to sleep in that room. He would go in there and sleep with the girls on the floor, on the girls' bedroom on the floor.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he wouldn't stay in there. And I do know that he has invited some friends over, you know. They were about 9, 10 years old at that point. And you know how kids at that age are, 9, 10 years old, and especially boys are, you know, kind of bouncing around and off the walls and stuff. And they had gone upstairs to play Transformers, I think it was. And they had the Transformer thingamajiggers and all that junk laying around. Anyways, so all of a sudden I heard a bunch of running down the stairs and screaming, and I'm like, what the hell? And one of the friends of my son says, the windows just uplifted and the shades were coming up and down, and they were just going on and on and on. I mean, the one boy was crying. It scared him so bad. And undoubtedly the shades had, the window had lifted up and then come down. And then the shades kind of blew out like something was coming through it.
Mm-hmm.
And it scared him so bad that the next day the boy's mother was up at my house.
Uh-oh.
And oh no, you know.
How do you explain that?
I know, right? I'm like, how? What am I going to say to this woman that her son just crapped his pants in my house because he got scared.
Well, what did you say to her?
Well, she informed me that she was having issues in her own house.
Oh, wow.
And I was kind of like, really? Yeah. She was having issues in her own house.
Man. Well, that's good. That way at least have someone to talk to about it.
Well, yeah, I did feel better that knowing that she kind of understood where I was coming from, you know,
mm-hmm.
And what we were going through at the time, and, you know, because she was going, had the same kind of issues, you know, like with the nightmares and this and that and seeing things and all.
How far was she living from you? Because if it's around the same, it's like the same area.
Oh yes, it was right down the road.
So it could be the same kind. If it's the same area, the same like where the Civil War and the Revolutionary War area battles were going on, she could be dealing with the same spirits you're dealing with.
Well, you know, I had thought that too. I had thought about that too, because down the road, speaking of which, I just thought of that. Down the road, there was a wasn't a colonel. I think it was somebody in the Civil War in the Army, and his body, along with his wife and children, were buried down on this corner, like down the road from us. And what had happened was is that he brought a blanket home during the Civil War, you know, when he came home after fighting. And it just so happened that the blanket was riddled with the smallpox, the disease.
Ooh.
And it just killed his whole family off. Every single one of them passed away. His children, his wife, and he died. And then they were all buried down there in this corner, like on the road there. And so they had found out that later on that somebody had gone in there, because I guess they buried them in copper caskets back then. And they had gone in there and stole the casket out of the grave. So they had to rebury him and under one headstone there. So if you walk around the headstone, you'll see all these different names, you know, with the children and then his wife and him. And they just let it sit there, and just the grass was overgrowing it and everything. And the only reason I heard about that was because it just so happened that the school that my kids were going to, the elementary school, their gym teacher lived down the road, and she was the grandniece of the Mr. Pendleton that owned the house that we were living in. So she knew all the history that was going on within the area at that time, you know, or before we moved there. And but she was telling me that before the house was, you know, bought or rented out or anything, that her husband would come up and check the house. And he would go in there to make sure that there was nobody had broke in or anything. And he said, she told me the last time he went in there, or he said he was going to go in there, was he went in there, he closed the door, and he was looking around, and he heard people talking. You could hear people talking, like a man and a woman talking. And he went in the room, and there was nobody there, and he kept hearing them talking. And she said that he told her he just opened the door, closed it real quick, and left, and he never went back in there. He told her that she would have to go in there for him, because he wasn't going to go back in there.
Yeah, I can't say it. Can't say I blame him for doing that. When you go check on the house, you're not expecting anything, and then you hear people talking. You know, that's scary. Even the toughest guy, if you're not looking for something like that,
Well, you know, it's really weird. Because I mean, well, even before we moved in that house, it was strange things were going on. I mean, we walked into the house, and there was bees, wasps everywhere downstairs in the bedroom and upstairs in the bedroom. It was only in the bedroom that the wasps were in. And I mean, they weren't just in it. I mean, they had swarmed the whole inside of it, and there was nests all in the windows and everything, and it was just in the bedroom. It was not in the living room. It wasn't in the dining room or the kitchen. It was just in the three bedrooms. And
wow.
I thought that was kind of weird. Yeah, it was just kind of a weird thing. I'm not going to say it's paranormal because not everything's paranormal, you know, but...
Yeah,
but
still, it's an interesting note to add to the whole story of the house.
Oh, absolutely.
Could you figure out how they were getting in to your house?
No, never did. We ended up having to bomb the place, the bedrooms, not once but twice to get rid of the wasp because they were still coming back, and I have no idea how they... you know, how they even got in there. Probably through that little spooky door in Stephen's room.
So
I never could figure it out. And all the bedrooms and all the living room and everything have the same type of windows. The real old windows with the rope in it, you know, the pool windows.
Yeah.
And there were real tall windows. Something you would find in old houses.
Yeah.
And because it has like the beveled glass in it. And for me and my husband, we just loved those. We loved them. We loved the old windows and the old feeling to the house. But it was just, just a little too much activity for me. And my kids.
Yeah, you got a little bit extra when you bought that house, for sure.
Yeah, well, you know, the weird part about it is we had been by that house several times before we even thought about, I mean, it was empty, you know, and we didn't think anything of it. And I know me and my husband had talked about having an old house like that, you know, just to kind of go in and live in your life out and sit on the front porch and the swing and kind of watch your kids grow up and grow old and have grandchildren, you know. But it didn't work out that way.
Yeah, you never expect a house to be haunted when you buy it. You never expect to have that much stuff happen to you.
Yeah. Well, they finally tore the place down. And I almost croaked because I thought they were going to take fix the house up and redo it and everything. And no, they tore it down, right down to the bare ground. And,
do you know if anybody moved in after you?
No, nobody did. They tore it down. They tore it right down to the bare nothings. There was nothing left of that house.
They raised it.
And my husband said, well, where do you think all the ghosts went to? I said, honey, I don't know, but they're not following us because when we were moving out of the house, and this is how frantic I was about getting out of it, we had the U-Haul truck backed up to the door, the front porch, and I was taking sage, and I was going out there, and everything that went on that truck, I was saging down, and I even went up there and saged it before it went down to the truck.
So damn sure that nobody was going to follow you.
I absolutely. I thought I'm not going to be haunted. Well, you know, it was really great because when we moved here, it was nothing. It was just nothing. And, I can't even begin to tell you how wonderful it was to finally be in a place where you're not wakened every night by, you know, the kids hollering or screaming or yelling or crying or, you know, something waking you up in the middle of the night and scaring the hell out of you. It was almost like a peaceful thing. So,
wow.
I mean, I can handle a haunting, you know, but I'm not like that.
No.
Not on an everyday basis.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, it was crazy. And
it had to have just frazzled your nerves so bad, just living with that constantly day in and day out. Yeah, I don't know how you did it, to be honest with you.
Well,
I mean,
I had Debbie. I had my sister because she she had things going on in her house too. But I would call her up and talk to her a lot about what was going on, and it really helped to have somebody talk about it that, you know, believed in you what was going on in the house. And not only that, but she experienced what was going on in my house.
Did you ever try communicating with it? I know you said you yelled at it after it affects your daughter.
Oh.
But did you ever try just talk, say, maybe try,
no.
I'm trying to live here in peace with you. Can you, you know, just leave me alone? We can maybe live together or something like that. Did you ever try doing that?
No, never did. Never did. I figured I was just better off not even trying to contact it or whatever, because for one thing, I was scared that it was going to hurt me. And
I guess you never know what's going to happen
once
you start doing that. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so that's what got me and Debbie into doing the paranormal. I think was, you know, this there and to help people that actually needed help. And to stick with that person until, you know, we made sure that the case was done and finished and you know, that they were okay.
Yeah.
So
you're right. Nobody needs to be alone, like, when they're dealing with that kind of, nobody needs to be alone when they're dealing with that kind of, haunting. That's, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And even a small haunting. I mean, even the littlest things that they don't understand, I think it makes them feel better to have somebody come in there and talk to them about what's going on and to help them understand that, you know, not everything that you're hearing may be paranormal, you know, but to get answers for them.
Yeah.
So they'll know how to handle the situation and bring that fear level down a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it's always good to give people a little bit of like comfort. Hey, you know, it might not be what you think it is. It might be this. It might be the, you know, and give them some kind of comfort and say, hey, we are here for you through the whole thing. If it happens, you need to give us a call. Give us a call. That is great. If you guys are doing that.
Yeah.
Tell them they can call. And we also tell them that they're, you know, they can call us anytime, day or night, if they're having an issue, then they need to call us. And if we can't help them ourselves, we will try to find somebody who can, whether it be a priest or a preacher or, you know. But we try to stay with them until the end, you know, or until we can close the case. And even then, some of them, you know, we still have in contact with them.
That's great.
So
how's your family doing now?
Oh, we're great. Yeah, I mean, we're just wonderful. Honestly, I'm just, you know, I think the reason I did that show was because it was like a release, and I wanted to get out there what exactly happened to me and my family.
But not to that exaggeration.
And
it looked like a fun ride on that chair, though, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. It looks like you guys had a great time.
Yeah, I had a real good time. But, I just wanted to get it out there because I've been working on this book for, like, 7 years now. you know, I've just been writing it little bits and pieces to just try and get out there exactly what happened. And, you know, I guess I got the opportunity to just go on there and tell the world what happened. And, you know, sometimes I think those television programs, they want to spread fear more than they want to tell the story, you know, because it seems like that the fear factor was much larger in there than the set story itself. And, you know, that's what gets the ratings up. So, unfortunately.
And they were trying to cram a lot into a very little amount of time.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think they took the scariest sections of the whole thing and just stuck it in there.
Yeah.
I do know two things right now. One is Howie wants to come on. He's got a couple of questions about some stuff that happened over YouTube. And I do have another person who is in the chat, Canadian Ross, is asking, what kind of advice would you have for other people, I'm guessing, that are going through similar situations?
Okay. Well, first of all, stay calm. Stay as calm as possible. And then the next thing I would do is what I try to do is to find somebody that's a legitimate paranormal team to come in there that's not going to charge, you know, to do this because, first of all, I don't think it's right to charge to help other people. And this is something that you're doing for scientific purposes for them and for you too. You know, just to stay calm, call paranormal team, a reputable paranormal team, and try to stay as close together as you possibly can because unity makes it better, I think. You know, but if it becomes a point where, you know, it's like with us, we ended up having to try and get a priest over there because it was really, really bad. So, but can you think of anything, Betty? So that's about it as far as that goes. I wouldn't try to contact it, you know, because that sometimes can lead into more issues. If you can invite things in there that you are wolfing. So I hope that answered the question. Hello?
I think it's a good job answering the question. And it right, you know, it, don't try to make contact with it. Leave that to the professionals so that they can say the right prayers to protect themselves from
you want to take
from whatever's out there.
Well, why do they charge $35 extra?
They have a better cost efficiency on them.
Is everybody still there?
Yeah, hello. We're still here.
Sorry,
but
I've been talking to everybody else.
It sounds like you're going in and out, so.
Yeah, I was hearing like talking in the back, like the TV show was on or something. So I got a little confused there.
You know what? I thought I heard the same thing, and I thought it was you all talking.
Oh no, it wasn't us. We weren't talking. Like, you know, I was trying to figure out if someone's watching TV, had TV going on in the background or something, or if we're picking up.
No.
Huh. But when you answered the question, I think it was a really good thing, especially if it's as malevolent as that. You definitely don't want to try to contact it.
Oh, absolutely, especially if it's a malevolent type of a spirit, you know.
I have a hard time with that word, too.
I want to put something else out there, too. Not everything is paranormal, and not everything is a demon, okay? Not every haunting is a demonic haunting, because you just have a nasty little spirit.
I know that I've had a couple of bad encounters with stuff in the past. I mean, it wasn't as horrible as, or it wasn't as physical, more so as it was just kind of a mental thing, except for maybe one person.
Did anybody call you a child? This is happening. I'll help you.
What, Howie?
Yeah, hold on one second. Service line one, service line one. Yes. Hello.
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 In the background.
Ladies. Oh, hi, Howie. How are you doing?
I am doing well, and how are y'all?
Oh, we're doing well.
I love to hear it. Love to hear it. Okay, I just have a few questions. And this is stuff that we got confronted about with on YouTube. So I wanted to bring it out in the open. I'm not sure if y'all talked about it. I've been busy, really hard at work tonight. But I just want to touch base. One of the first things that I saw that irritated me about one of the negative comments that was made on the YouTube, and it was still up, was why in the world would y'all burn, like, dolls and stuff in the backyard? Could you explain that?
Oh, my God. You know what? We did not do that, okay? Honestly, they put that up there, and my daughter, Brittany, and Crystal looked at me, and she says, Mom, we never burnt dolls in the backyard, okay? But it was that when we got ready to move, you know, there were things that we just didn't want anymore, and not stuffed animals, because we took the stuffed animals and the dolls down to, like, the thrift store and would, you know, give it to the thrift store to resell or whatever. And it was just like old paper and stuff like that we were burning. And this was something that they made it look like that we did and didn't do. So that was one of the things that looked like it was they misconcepted on their part. You know, that's not what we did. There's no way that I would throw a doll and melt it in a fire, because it creeps me out anyways, dolls do. And there's no way I'm going to stand there. Like, we're going to stand around a fire and watch things burn. So, that's absolutely not true.
There you go. Did y'all talk about the Ouija board tonight?
No, huh?
Okay. And, again, the YouTube thing, they were criticizing how the use of the Ouija board took place and how, you know, there's positive and negative about it, but they were trying to have negative comments about what you did with it, how you did it. See, with me knowing you, I know what you did, and that's why that channel is no longer on YouTube. Hoorah! but could you explain the whole Ouija board thing while you're on air?
Okay, sure. The kids had gotten this Ouija board from a little girl that lived next door, and they were kind of getting together, and they were playing it, okay, all of them were. There was, like, Crystal, Brittany, and the little girl next door, and they were sitting there kind of goofing off with it and stuff, and I found them playing with the Ouija board, and it, you know, I had, when I was younger, I think everybody, when they're younger, tries to experiment with the Ouija board. Oh, it's a game and all that crap. So I told him to put it away, give it back to Zoe, have her take it back over to her house, give it back. And I thought they had done that. So I went in and I was cleaning closets out and stuff, and there I found the Ouija board sitting in the closet up on the stuff. And so I yelled at the kids, you know, I told you guys to get rid of this Ouija board. What is it doing back in here? And they said, well, Mom, you know, we didn't know it was in there, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, yeah, tell me something else I don't know. And so anyways, I took the Ouija board at that moment, and my husband was burning some, like, lumber out there because he's a cabinet maker, and sometimes he burns the excess wood out on the fire. So I took it out there, and I just threw it on the fire. Well, the girls were in the bedroom where I had taken the Ouija board from, and they were, I could hear them yelling out the window, "No, Mom, don't throw it on the fire. No, Mom." And I'm like, I'm going to get rid of it once and for all, you know. And stupid me, being naive about the paranormal as I was then, had thrown it on the fire. I didn't know any better, you know, about that at that point. And so I was standing there, and I got this weird feeling, and then all of a sudden the wind kind of picks up, and it started blowing, and this weird-looking flame kind of shot out of it and was like went way up in the air. And because of everything that was happening at once, I got this really weird feeling, and I started saying, "Hail Mary." "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee." And I was really saying prayers because it scared me that bad. That's how bad, you know, because of it all happening at once. And so later on that evening, my four-year-old niece was in the back bedroom, and we were kind of like all in the front of the house, and she come running up to the front of the house, and she goes, "Mommy, Mommy, Mommy, there's a lady in the window knocking on it wanting to come in." And so that's the whole thing about the Ouija board. So, and see, they kind of crammed it all together, making it look like, well, we were out there burning baby dolls, and, you know, well, let's go throw this Ouija board on there and watch it shoot up, and that's not how it was. It was just something very, you know, that I think a person would have done that doesn't know anything about a Ouija board, you know.
Right.
So that's what happened. And the Ouija board, the Ouija board that they had that was on the show with that little, I don't know, pinnacle thing that they were using, that didn't even look like the Ouija board that we had. So the Ouija board's a Ouija board, you know, and it's kind of stupid the way they did it, but, you know.
Right.
I had no control over what they were doing, and I didn't even know they were doing that, or I would have said no. Do it a different way or something.
Well, just for documentation, and we're on the airway, we have spoken about this case on several occasions, have we not?
Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Just so it's documented. And just so you know, even though there was a lot of bad comments, there was a lot of positive comments, too. And I'm glad that it's been taken off YouTube. I think the slander is what we see a lot of times now in general society. So with me and some of the other crew that stepped up to the plate for y'all, I can personally say I'm personally thankful that it was taken off, because I think that puts y'all in a bad light. And I am more than pleased. I am blessed to have you and all as family and friends, so I just want to make sure that's said on the air as well.
Oh, thank you, Howard.
Thank you, Howard.
Yeah, you know what? I just show you how interested I am in that sort of stuff is I didn't even know it was on YouTube. And so, you know, I look at it this way, even though I didn't see it, didn't read the comments. Me and Debbie know what happened in that house. We know what happened. And we both kind of lived it off and on. And, you know, let people think what they want to, you know, because they just don't understand. They don't. They weren't there. They didn't live it.
But it wasn't as exaggerated as it was
yeah.
the show, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So...
But I guess it did teach us one thing, not to, you know, that there probably won't be any more shows like that, just because this was a first-time experience. And I don't think they really put, like you said, our group in a very good light doing that.
And maybe it was a good thing that they didn't, because I'd asked them if they would mind mentioning our group at the end of the show, and they said, well, we don't do that. And so maybe that was a God's blessing, you know, a godsend that they didn't do that. But I appreciate the paranormal community coming together and kind of, you know, looking out for our backs, so to speak. And Howard, you've really been you and Ryan and everybody is always, you know, that you've been such good friends, and, you know, just watching out. I mean, I would do the same for you guys, too. I would, so. Hello?
Wait.
Ryan was talking in the other room. For some reason, he's not coming over the phone.
Yeah, I hit the mute button with my cheek when I was talking, so. Yeah, sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay.
I was saying, we definitely got your back, and we're glad that we're all friends, and we're able to come together and talk about what happened with you guys, and we certainly appreciate you coming on the show with us and telling us what happened in your own words, and not having to rely on a TV show.
Well, see, you know, that makes me, really, the whole thing makes me kind of angry, because I don't think it's right for television shows to take advantage of someone's, I don't want to call it misfortunes, but all I wanted to do was tell a true story, you know,
yeah.
A story that really happened about paranormal. I know there can be a show like that out there somewhere, you know, where people get on, they talk about what happened in their, you know, in their household or whatever when they were living there.
Without
the exaggerations of it all.
That probably don't sell very well, though.
Yeah, and so, unfortunately, you know, it was just a very bad thing that happened, you know, as far as what they did, and I didn't even know they had taken it down. First of all, I didn't know they had it up, and then when you told me they had taken it down, I didn't know they had, you know, I didn't even know they had one up there. So
the reason I found out is as I was going to YouTube the beginning of the weekend to establish that y'all were going to be on air so you could be heard. And when I went there is when I found out that everything had been deleted, the entire channel. And I was just like, look, we actually did it. We actually did it. And that just put a huge smile on my face. So, I mean, I had talked to Britt a couple of times about it, that being her daughter, Brittany. Her and I had discussed it a little bit. And, you know, I felt real strong about the whole case. It just drew me closer to you guys. So this weekend when I found out, I was like, it just made me ecstatic. I was like, look what we accomplished. This is beautiful. Now let's let your voice be heard. And that was, you know, I was so thankful for Ryan to go, yeah, let's do it. Let's bring him on. And I'm like, Ryan, you couldn't have made my weekend any better than saying yeah and agreeing to it. So, I mean, I'm just glad that you're able now to live a happier life, and you know.
Definitely.
You have support. You know. So, but I do have one more question for you.
Okay.
Hold on 1 second, and I'll be right back.
Well,
Miss Lane, I didn't get
yeah.
to say it earlier. But even though I'm kind of new into the whole paranormal community, I'm glad that I know you and that I got to meet you at the Paracon out in Gordonsville. And community here has definitely opened my eyes out, and it's like one big second family to me with a lot of extended relatives.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was nice to have seen you out there too. And I just kind of like have a whole connection with you guys. I don't know why, but I just do. And maybe it's because we have the same interest in the paranormal, and we're kind of headed in the same way.
Well, I'll definitely be more in touch with you on Facebook. I see you liking my pictures and stuff on Facebook a lot, so I'll definitely be more talkative with you on Facebook and stuff from now on.
Okay.
I want to get off and get out of Ryan's hair for a minute. I just want to ask, did y'all talk about how in the very beginning how some of the groups that you called on weren't very helpful?
I kind of touched on that
a little bit. I won't go in and say what groups they were.
No. You know, I just wanted to make sure that was brought up because that happens a lot, and the people need to hear that there are some groups that just they're out there just for a name, and they're not helping people. And just so it's a one-on-one true person.
That's very true.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like I said, there wasn't, in the beginning, there just wasn't a whole lot of people talking about the paranormal. And there wasn't anybody that I knew of to get in touch with. And who are you going to call? I mean, there's no Ghostbusters back then, you know. So,
yeah. I just want to thank you. Getting towards the end of the show here, and I want to thank you too very much for coming on the show and discussing what happened to you and giving us your own story. And we certainly appreciate you spending all this time talking to us, and we hope you enjoyed it as much as we did hearing your story.
Well, thank you, Brian. I appreciate it, and it was good talking to you all too, and just kind of setting everything straight, and having.
Thank you, Ryan and Howie and Christina, or Christine.
Thank you.
I should. And thank you for having us on.
It was our pleasure, and I will definitely see you in June for the. Camp out.
Yeah.
And I'm really looking forward to that.
Yes. Yeah, we're looking forward to it too. And I guess we'll leave you for the night. And I hope you all have a blessed night and a blessed day tomorrow.
You too.
Me too.
And have a happy Easter, and I'll definitely see you guys on Facebook.
Okay. Will do.
All right.
Night.
All right. Bye.
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 All right. Well, our show is about over. So we will be at Paracon at Boxwood Inn on Saturday. Look for the two good-looking people that have the fast sign on the table. Come by and check us out. We look forward to meeting everybody. Kristen, are you excited about this weekend?
Oh, man, I'm hyped. I'm a little worried about the speech, but I'm hyped.
This is going to be fun. So you'll do great. And like I said, we have a lot of people who are going to be there, a lot of people who are going to do a lot of cool stuff for kids at the Paracon. And hopefully we'll have a bunch of cool interviews to play for you guys on Monday's show. Because next Monday's show, we'll definitely be talking about Paracon for sure. Anything else you want to add, Kristen?
Not right off the top of my head, no.
All right. Well, I got 10 seconds left. Thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed the new and improved fast, freaking out the supernatural talk, the fastest paranormal show in town. So I guess we'll talk to you on Monday.
Thank you.